Fucky T Podcast. Give it up for her.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, I'm here with Leah Lockhart from Rockstar Massage.
Hello. Hello, Aura.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fab.
Yay. We just got back from brunch.
Uh-huh.
We like to brunch. We're brunch babes, so.
Totally.
You know.
She likes to take me out to fancy brunch places.
In
Brea.
It's hell literally yeah. Like the, we have like six different places in Brea. It's like Mandrula. That's the one we're just at.
Mm-hmm.
Which I feel like just okay, right?
It was okay. Actually, yeah.
I feel like it wasn't your favorite.
You will always know if I love the food.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can't talk right now.
Yeah.
And I do a little food wiggle dance in my seat. And I didn't do that.
And then we've been to Toast.
Mm-hmm.
Toast was
really good.
Yeah. And then
I like their Eggs Benedict better than Mint Julep.
Yeah. McCollin's.
And I like McCollin's.
It's all right. I like the
vibe. I like the bottomless mimosa.
I like that they have the bottomless mimosa option. That's what McCollin's rules at.
And you like the Fruity Pebbles French Toast.
I do. That's fucking bomb ass. It's like bomb ass. Because normally I'm pretty bland. Like I'm just like scrambled eggs. Toast
and potatoes,
even though I like never eat the potatoes. Like I want someone else to order potatoes so that I can just have like two bites of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Or I want there to be like a restaurant that has like mini versions. Like I just want like half the order of potatoes or like a third of the order of potatoes.
Right. Well, potatoes are cheap.
Yeah.
So and they're charging you a premium price for it, so they give you a 10 of them.
Yeah, and it's like I'm not gonna eat all these potatoes. I really just need like one slice of toast and scrambled eggs and then like a sweet. But I didn't do any sweets today, but
you didn't.
It's something sweet. I know, I should have. I know, but I should have.
No, I'm proud
like,
of you.
I'm like, wait till tonight. Just kidding. So, yes, but yeah.
Anna McCollin's, I always get forced to go to karaoke.
I know, you get harassed.
I get harassed to do it, but I enjoy it. I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Stop harassing me.
I just don't like how they hover. It's like, yes. We were here to do karaoke for Leah. Leah's going to do karaoke.
I'm going to do it.
But the fact that this guy comes like every 10 minutes when we're in middle of conversation and is like, hey, are you ready to do karaoke? It's like, do I look like I'm ready to do karaoke?
And he doesn't even say anything, too. He'll just hover around our table
behind
me.
Can you just go away, guy?
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm not being a cock block. It's not like it's like anybody you're interested in. Because I would never, by the way. If you were like someone like, hey, like I do want this guy's attention, so stop. I'd be like, okay, this guy can chill. But I know it's you don't want this guy. I know it's the opposite. Like he wants you.
Yeah. To sing karaoke.
To sing karaoke. But also probably for other reasons.
Yeah. He asked for my number twice. I'm like, by the second time, I'm like, you already have my phone number.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, I do. I'm like, yeah.
You're like, yeah. I don't respond to your text, but you still have my phone number.
Yep,
it still
exactly.
Oh, man. It's nice. But you do have a lovely voice, so I could see why he'd want you to do karaoke.
Thank you, but also there's not much competition in that place, and I think he just wants participants, so that doesn't necessarily make me feel like the most amazing singer, because he just wants people to participate, because he's being there, hired there by
that's
the hour.
That's true. He does want that. Yeah. But yeah, so should we talk about stuff?
Let's talk about stuff.
What do you want to talk about first? What's going on?
You're the scheduler.
Okay, so
you have all these hot topics.
I mean, there's so many hot topics. I don't even know where to go. It's like we can go really like
let's just
into
go Danny Masterson.
Let's talk about Danny Masterson. So it is triggering this, like when we talk about stuff, this could be triggering because we're going to talk about SA and things like that. So just to be warned ahead of time for that.
Do you have to warn people that you're going to do that?
I've been told before from people, set a like warning, like set a little like tone where it's like, hey, I am going to be talking about SA topics. So if that's triggering for you, just to be a warn ahead of time.
Okay.
I have been told that from people before. So I just say a little bit of it, even though we're not going to get deep into it, just like more of like the results, but not of it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, yeah, but. So Danny Masterson, he got 30 years for
to life.
Yeah, for essaying. Yeah. Yeah.
Two people. I thought it was four. It was only two.
I think it is four, but I think they're only charging him with the two, because I don't know if the four was enough evidence or if the four...
So four people came.
Forward.
Came forward, but, and he only got charged with two.
Two, yes. Okay. And they're big charges. They're, like, legit, like, where they had... Because even the judge, after sentencing, came out and, like, told him all this stuff. Like, you think that you're being... I can see how you think that you're being charged. Like, you're surprised that you're being charged for something that happened so long ago. That you're being charged for something that you think that these girls are just out to get you for. Mm-hmm. But no, what you're really being charged for is the fact that these girls had significant evidence and the fact where they actually reported it to the Scientology people. Like, whoever you're supposed to report it to.
Yeah.
That they have evidence of, like, document evidence of, like, I told my mom, I told my, like, sister, like, I told, like, people. We have, like, reports and, like, legit... like, factual things that are enough evidence to convict you of this case. Not just he said, she said.
Yeah.
You know, it was, like, enough stuff to be like, dude, you did this bad, horrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he didn't get in trouble for it when it just happened was probably, like, where he thought he could get away with it again.
Yeah.
And kept doing it. Did
three more times after he got away with it the first time.
So, but now he's getting charged with it. It's probably, like, such, like, a, what happened, you know, to him. But it's, like, dude, like... You know, we hear a lot of stuff about Danny Masterson. Not just, like, with that, but, like, other stuff about him being not that great of a person. Not that you have to be the most friendly person or anything like that, but, like, if you have the reputation in Hollywood of being kind of scummy and sleazy, you probably are.
So, when I lived in Hollywood, and Danny Masterson had been around. Like, he would be in the same place I was out at night. And I'm like, oh... There's this, you know, 70s show guy. Mm-hmm. And then more than once, somebody has said, yeah, he's a creep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a creep. Stay away from him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. He's out all the time. Yeah, he's a creep. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, okay. A couple times.
Yeah. Three times. Yeah. And I feel like if someone gives you that warning, it's probably true. Mm-hmm. Because, like, why do they care? Like, I mean, from my own experience of hanging out, like, in Hollywood or anywhere else, most of the time when I bring up someone's name or, like, oh, there's that person, no one says anything like, oh, there's that person, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone actually says, like, oh, be careful, like, he's a scumbag or he's sleazy or just be careful.
Yeah.
It usually rings true of their character.
Yeah. As soon as I heard this recent news, I posted his sentencing and I was like, oh, the Hollywood rumors were true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in my own experience, I find that to be true about a lot of people. So, I mean...
Even in the comedy scene?
Even in the comedy scene. Yeah, we'll have to talk about Russell Brand, too, like, after Danny. We'll do Danny Masterson, Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis. But yes.
So, I think Danny's stuff was covered up by the Scientologist, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure, 100%. Mm-hmm. If you're in that circle of Scientology, you're pretty much...
Right, their credibility is star-driven, so, and they actually have a department that if you have a complaint department, there's a complaint department, and you don't go outside Scientology and outside and go to your local police department. You keep it inside the building, and we'll deal with it on our own, and that's how they deal with problems. Yeah. And these women that he... did these unapologetic things to were in the Scientology.
And unfortunately, she did follow protocol and did report him to Scientology, and they did do nothing about it. Nope. So that right there is like a huge red flag. It's like she did do that. She was a Scientologist too, and she did report it, and they did nothing. And also, Danny paid her off. He sent her a check, which the judge pointed out too. It's like the fact that you... paid her $400,000.
Oh.
$400,000.
Whoa. $400,000.
Yes.
Thousand. Yes. $400,000.
And he's saying because she wanted money off him, but it's like you wanted her not to say something so bad that you paid her $400,000.
But are you talking about one person or are you talking about two?
No, one of the persons.
One of the girls. Of the
people,
okay.
Yeah, one of the people. One of the girls. So the fact that he paid her $400,000, which was probably, and I'm not, this is just me assuming because I didn't go into huge details on it, which was probably recommended by the Scientology for him to pay her that, that was like her thing of silence, you know, but like that looks really bad on your part.
Yeah.
That, yeah, you did do this stuff and you did deserve it. And Bijou, his wife, who also is known as being a little bit not the greatest person either.
In what way?
Sticking by him and saying that he doesn't do anything. I just heard that she's like a little bit like, I don't know how to say it without being like hard to work with, like hard. She's okay. Scientologist also.
Okay.
She definitely doesn't follow, like, she definitely stands by her husband in a way where it's like, do you really stand by your husband? You know what I mean?
Well, she's should. Supposed to.
I mean, I'm not going to.
Somebody
accused Nick of it and they had, like, significant evidence where it's like, dude, like, you really did this. Like, I would not stand by my man.
Oh.
Like, I stand by
bitches
the victim.
Bitches ain't loyal.
Right? If bitches ain't shit. I just wouldn't. Like, I just feel like if it was, like, this is what you did, it's like, dude, you know, that's what you get. Like, that you did this. Like, how can you defend somebody, even though I love him, and I wouldn't just, like, stop loving him because I can't just automatically shut off my love for somebody. I would definitely be for the victims. I definitely would not be for my husband that did this shit and that's paying off people.
Well,
like, why are you paying her off then? Like, why?
The hard thing is, though, even when confronted with the truth, Danny is probably going, well, they're just lying. Yeah. They're making it up. You know, it's hard. We always get the male edited version of the stories is, you know, when you're like dating somebody new, you get the male edited version of it. I'm like, well, what? I want to know what the ex-wife says. What does she say about the situation? You know, stuff like that.
I know his ex-girlfriend is for the victims and says his long-term ex-girlfriend who was with him during that 70s show does not have high things to say about him. Like, she has lots of bad things to say about him and the way that they treated Mila and the way that they treated Topher and, like, not good. Because on the set of that 70s show, Mila was only 14. And there was a lot of, like, stuff that seemed, like, not okay for her that she wrote a statement about. So when it seems, you know, like, when it seems like it, it usually isn't. And I don't want to, like, yes, like, guilty until proven not guilty or whatever. I know that's innocent.
Innocent until proven guilty.
I said that so wrong. Innocent until proven guilty. I know that that is the case and I totally stand by that. But he was proven guilty and the facts match up with all of it. Like, everything just comes in around and more evidence is coming out. And the way he acted on the set, the way, like, Topher did not want to be around him, the way, you know, the girlfriend was like, if anybody talked to Topher, like, Danny was kind of like the cult leader, she said. And if anybody talked to Topher, Danny would, like, bully them. Whoa. If anybody was, like, nice to Topher.
Ew.
Yeah, and Topher never wanted to hang out with them. Like, he never, you know, he was, and then, like, back in the day, he was kind of accused of being, like, the snob of the set. But really, he was just trying to get out of that situation with the guys acting like a bunch of dickheads. Yeah. Why, though? Like, why, right? Like, every freaking time. Like,
why is your
this
husband,
whole time.
There's a window in front of us and there's a window behind us.
Like,
he always has to be at either one of these windows.
Right? What is he doing? Can you stop? Like, yes, we can hear it. Get away. <You see? laughs> He does it on purpose.
Like, oh my god.
Like, you don't understand every time.
Single time.
This is, he's so like, attention, look at me, look at me.
You see?
Yes. I need all my attention right now. Why isn't anybody paying attention to me?
Oh, poor baby.
I know.
Okay, where are you? Sorry.
But yes, so I've heard many things, and then in light of that happening, all the character letters are coming out. Because Ashton, it wasn't just Ashton and Mila that wrote one. Also Red, the parents.
They had 50 character letters from other people.
Other people?
Yeah.
Well, I know it was William Baldwin. No, was it Billy Baldwin? No. One of the Baldwins wrote one. It wasn't Billy. It wasn't Haley Bieber's dad. It was like her uncle.
But they, was William. All these character letters, those are sincere. You know, we were just saying that, like, if given up for a man, if given an opportunity, an opportunity, a bad opportunity arises, any opportunity that arises, and especially if it's naughty, and he could get away with it, he thinks he can get away with it, the limits are limitless. There is no limits to what a man will do. I'm saying this in general, but for people with that vibrate low or with low moral character, will do some horrible shit.
Yeah.
And this is one of those scenarios. So this is an opportunity arose at least four times with Danny Masterson, but I think he had the comfort of Scientology behind his back, knowing that he wasn't going to get caught. So he did it again, three more times. And guess what? Now you're paying the fucking price. But these character letters are of him, of Danny, the normal human being, the person with whatever moral, whatever level of morality he has. That's when it's the most prominent, when you're around society and around, you know, the people that you know, and but also other you know, celebrities and stuff. So they're going to get know a completely different person than this, you know, rapist abuser.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They're going to know somebody completely different than what he does when he does all his fucking shit. Mm-hmm. But also, I think, like, with, like, Ashton, I feel like he probably, I'm not saying that he knew, like, what was going on with Danny and his, like, really dark side of him. Mm-hmm. But I'm familiar how guys talk when they're with each other. Mm. And I'm sure things have came out. But also it could have been taken, like, we're guys and we're talking this way. Mm-hmm. But also, how serious are you about the shit that you talk about this way? Right. The fact that they have, that videos are surfacing now, that people are taking more serious about when Mila was 14 working on that 70s show, Ashton was 19, how she had her first kiss on that show, and how Danny bet Ashton $20 to stick his tongue down her throat, which that wasn't supposed to be the thing. He was just supposed to kiss her. Mm-hmm. It's like, that right there, that's a little creepy on itself. It's like, why are you, like, you know what I mean? Why are we doing this?
It's just, that's teenage boy behavior.
And I get that that's what it, I get that that's, like, you know what I mean? But it's still not okay. And how many times are we excusing teenage boy behavior before they become men and before they do, oh, try this on this girl that's drunk. Try this before it becomes just a little sort of innocent thing to become something bigger later on. Sure. How much are we excusing teenage boys' behavior to girls that are, like, so much younger? Because at that point, aren't they men at 19?
Technically.
Yeah.
Are they in real life? No.
No, of course not. Men are not men probably till, like, 40. 40s. And even then, I don't even know. But yes. Mm-hmm. But still, like, I don't, this, like, excusing for men to be this way, I just think it's, like, people should start, like, and I feel like somebody probably did tell them, like, dude, guys, stop being gross. And maybe it was Topher. And maybe that's why they didn't like him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe he was always ruining their fun by saying things like,
the moral compass.
Yeah, like, by saying things like, hey, like, come on, guys. Like, let's do the show. Like, let's leave the girls alone. Like, let's do the show.
Well,
I don't know. These are just my own assumptions again. Right. Like, so, but I'm just saying, like, why didn't they like him so much?
It's, well, you get two friends that are egging on each other and say, I'll give you $20 if you stick your tongue down your throat. Because we're teenage boys. And I'm like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah. But that's why raising your kids, it's to have strong moral compasses is super important.
That's super
because
important.
As soon as you let them out in the free world, then you got one guy bugs in the ear. I'm like, oh, you little fucking chump. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just, come on, just kiss her. No, it's no big deal. You got $20, man. Come on, come on.
Yeah, it's always the egging on thing.
And then, it's pure pressure.
Yeah, it's pure pressure. And then there was, like, a thing where William, what is his name? William, the one that played Fez, that was dating Demi Lovato.
Wilder Valderrama.
Yeah. That he
Wilmer
said,
Valderrama.
Like, yeah. Well, he said, like, some kind of, like, he made a statement, like, just, like, as a joke, saying how Mila was passed around, like, on the set. And she was, like, 14 on the time. Aww. So it's, like, whether he was kidding, maybe he was saying, like, we all had crushes on her. I don't fucking know.
Or we
but the way
her
he said it is just, like, really not the greatest thing. And the fact that he dated Demi Lovato when she was, like, 16 and he was, like, 30. I don't know.
He had his really sleazy time at some point.
Like, that whole
thing. He was passed around Hollywood, and then he dated all the big stars, too.
All the young ones.
Young, yeah.
Teenage stars. Which is fine. Like, I'm not, like, if you're, like, 21 and you're dating, or even, like, 18, 19, whatever, and you're dating someone that's super old, whatever. I dated a lot of guys that were super old when I was really young. But I feel like 14, 16.
Well,
like,
what's your cutoff? Because I think it's all kind of gnarly. I've never liked it.
I don't love it, but the thing is like, I just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, for me, I just always liked older guys. I still do. I'd always say I was older just so I could date older guys. You know, my mom caught me being the one that was talking to a college guy when I was like 14. And I told the guy I was 18. And then she got on the phone and was like, my daughter's 14. Like, you have to stop calling. And then he did.
Because your mom knew that he could get arrested.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's just me, though. You know what I mean? I always played older because I always liked older guys. I just did. I still do to this day. Like, I just like guys that are older. I feel like young guys can't do anything for me. I've never been attracted to them. They're babies to me. They're like children.
Well, the age of consent is 15 in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And I grew up, so many girls would get pregnant at 15. The dudes that were in their 20s were dating 15-year-olds, and we're like, oh, she's like age of consent. And at 15, I thought it was disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, what kind of loser are you to be in your 20s and have to get with a naive 15-year-old? Yeah. I always thought it was inappropriate.
Yeah. And I mean, guys do that because
They can get away.
But also, I was talking to this girl the other day. She's like the girl that does my waxing. And she was telling me how she was dating this guy when she was like 18 and he was like 20 something. And she'd always take the train to go see him. And she's like, now when I'm older, I'm thinking like, what did he want with me? I'm like, I'm letting you know right now. You're a beautiful 18-year-old thinking he's so cool because he's 20. Taking your time to go on a train to go see him at his mom's house when he's like in his like 30s.
Ew.
He can't get anybody his age.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Yeah, they're losers.
Yeah, that's why he was so interesting. She's like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Like, her brain was just like, psh. I'm like, yes. Guys who go after girls who are that young, who are like, you know what I mean? Who are like,
because they don't expect much.
Yes, exactly.
A woman of their same age expects more. They expect you to have a job. They expect you to have your own apartment.
They're not nagging you to get married. They're not telling you to clean up your house. Mm. They're just excited that, like, I'm at this place. This guy has a room. He has a TV. Oh, he could pay for my dinner. Like, that's...
And you're like, wow, yeah, all impressed with that?
Yeah, it's not...
No,
yeah.
To somebody his own age, a woman his own age... we all know that he's a loser.
Yeah, and that's a lot of reasons why, too. Mm. So, but I think with Ashton doing the character letter, I think he's... Because I know a lot of people do it, and a lot of people didn't get as much backlash as Ashton did, is because he is the founder of that sex trafficking
foundation
that he resigned from. But because of that, and this is a very sensitive victim case, he should have thought about that as he was doing it and let his friend know, like, look, I love you, and I'm sorry that this is, like, I'm sorry that we have this friendship, but also, like, I can't do it. Like, I can't
do it. Because I'm the chairperson of this
foundation. Because I'm a chairperson of victims.
I just also, like, why can't it be separate? Yeah. Why can't it just be separate?
It can't for this situation when it comes to what he's really involved in and what he's sticking up for.
What he's sticking up for is... as a character letter of the person that Danny Masterson put forward to Ashton for 25 years. Ashton might never know unless Danny told him, hey, by the way, I screwed these chicks, and guess what? One of them didn't want to bang me, and I did it anyway. Like, it would have never involved Ashton. Ashton is just giving the letter of how he knows him in front of him in society and in private. And it's a good... I just don't understand why, like, everything has to get so convoluted. Because what Ashton's doing with saving all these people with this foundation is so good. And he feels really powerful. He's doing a really good job. And sex trafficking and childhood predator trafficking just makes me so angry. So to have more foundations like this and people actually doing something about it makes me so excited. And... I think that's a missed opportunity because of what he wrote about his friend.
We all have to own, like, our words and our situations that we do. But with this thing, it's like, because he is this foundation, because he does support it so much, he has to be more worried about that than his friendship and about being a character witness. He had 15 other character witnesses, you said, right? 15?
50.
Ashton just couldn't
didn't
have
need
it.
To be there.
He didn't need to be there for that.
Yeah.
And, like, you know,
I agree with that.
Nobody else is getting backlash from being a character witness except for Ashton because of it.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's, like, such a big deal. It's like, dude, like, you are meant to make victims and survivors feel safe. You are putting them out terrible situations. This is totally hypocritical and opposite. And even though it's only because it's your friend and you saw a different side of him and you know he has a daughter, so you're doing that, and you're seeing what kind of dad he is, mm-hmm. and you thought nobody would see this, which is like, come on, this is Hollywood. Mm-hmm. Everyone was going to see this letter. Mm-hmm. You were like, this was meant for the judge, and we get that. But at the same time, it's like, how didn't you know, like, all this stuff was going to be leaked? Like, everything else in the world is leaked.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, kind of, like, you weren't thinking. But again, like I said, like, you weren't his only character witness. There was 50 other ones. So you didn't have to do this at all.
You didn't have to do it.
And he probably shouldn't have because of his stature of his company or of his foundation that he has.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. Like, that's how I feel. I feel like it's just bad for what he should have thought about it more. And I get, like, you know, I would be character witnesses for my friends, given maybe, and maybe not this, I don't know, like, I've told, like, some of my friends before, some of my guy friends, I'm like, if something were happened to you, like, I would probably, like, write, like, he's been always cool to me, but yeah, that was fucking shitty what he did. Like, he deserves the punishment.
Mm.
And I'm also not surprised. It wasn't to do with, like, essay or anything like that, but for, like, murder or something. And I would say, like, he has a bad temper, so I'm not surprised. But he's also, like, a good person to talk to. I don't know. Like, I don't know how much am I going to bat for my friends that did something awful that's been proven that was guilty of it.
Yeah.
Like, how much am I going to bat for them?
Yeah.
Probably fucking not much.
Well, we'll never be in this situation.
Yeah.
So how could you? I have no idea.
Right? It's like, I don't know. I just feel like,
because you're still going to get the version of your friend's story.
Which is just like, what version can you tell when she was drugged, told you multiple times no, scream no, you put, like, a gun to her head. Like, what version can it be, like, you know?
I know. No, I know. But I also omitting information is kind of like, is lying too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what is Danny telling? I don't know. Maybe they're, what would Danny say to make it okay to his friends?
I don't know. I mean, I don't fucking know. Like, it's, like, crazy. So
we'll never know, because we'll never be in that situation.
Yeah. So that's the Danny Masterson. And then we have another one with Russell Brand just recently came out with, like, there's a documentary about it, or, like, I don't know if it's a documentary. I think it's a documentary about Russell Brand being a complete sleaze creep, essaying, all that stuff. And he has been Russell Brand has been openly admitted, very, like, on brand with, like, saying that he was this big time addicted to drugs guy.
Addicted to sex.
All that stuff. So he has admitted to this stuff before, and he did go on because he knew this documentary was coming out. He knew this, like, article was coming out that he posted, completely denying all allegations to anything he's been accused of. He said all his sexual encounters have always been consensual, and that all the stuff that's coming out about him is false. Like, he went on his show or wherever and announced
on record
to announce denying everything. Okay, so these allegations happen post Katy Perry that he's been accused. This is, like, all 2008.
Pre-Katy Perry.
Which, like, side note, I know I'm side noting this really quick, but did you watch the Katy Perry documentary? Remember she had that Katy Perry documentary movie that came out a long time ago when she was married to Russell Brown?
Yes.
Did you see it?
I didn't know we were going to talk about it.
So no, sorry.
I remember her going, like,
oh, she was, like, on tour, right?
Yeah, she's on tour. She's like, I'm going to go to China, and then I'm going to go to go see Russell, and then I'm going to go to Australia. Like, she was going, like, this crazy schedule, but she would have one day off, and she was flying back
so
to go
see him. The most, like, so I watched it, because I watched it with this kid that really liked Katy Perry, and I was like, okay, I'll go see it.
I met her a couple times.
So I went to go see that show, and then I just remember being so sad for her because in that movie, he breaks up with her, cancels his marriage from her, divorces her, says he's done via text. And she's looking at her phone. She's right about to go on stage, and she's like crying, and she takes her ring off and just like sets it down. And I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, that was the saddest thing I've seen. And, you know, Russell's ex-girlfriends have talked about, like, how he is very controlling and how he has done stuff that's been, like, holding them down physically and not SAing them, but, like, doing stuff that they were really uncomfortable, where his eyes would glaze over and he'd be, like, a totally, completely different person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people have come out saying that, too, in support of allegations of the other girls. There's, like, I think 4 people or 6 people that came out with allegations against Russell Crowe of SAing. But,
Russell Brand,
sorry. Oh, my God, I can't believe I said Crowe. Sorry, not Russell Crowe. Although Russell Crowe has been accused of being a dick, but okay. Not SAing.
Okay.
Let me take that back.
Don't worry, I'm on to you.
Thank you. Russell Brand. So, have you ever met him, Russell Brand?
No, I passed by him though at a yoga studio.
Oh, okay.
And I've met Katy Perry before.
Okay, how did you like Katy?
Yeah, she was nice. Yeah. It was at an event, so she was on her best behavior. But she was just like, "Hi, nice to meet you." Like really into like seeing you. Like, yeah. She sees me and she said, "Wait, what's your name? What's your name?"
Oh, Aurora.
Aurora, nice to meet you. Like, I was like, she's on point, man. Yeah,
that's good. That's good. She seems very friendly. I don't even think I've ever, like, watched Russell Crowe live or anything. I've never met him.
Actually, I have her photo with her in my Instagram feed.
Oh, nice.
At Leah Lockhart. Go dig deep and go find a photo with me and Katy Perry.
But, yeah, these things are coming out. We're 16-year-olds coming out with it from, again, these were, like, before, like, back in the day.
Like, a long time ago. Okay.
Some other people are coming out with it. So it's going to be a thing. And I heard, like, they're coming for these comedians that are doing stuff.
So, but I also think they're coming for him because of his political stance, and he's getting big.
What's his political stance?
That he just, it's not right or left. Mm-hmm. It's basically anti-radical liberal.
Oh. Okay.
But he's, more people are listening to him, and if it's against the media agenda, the political media agenda, people are going to knock you down because they can't do it with, like, oh, well, he's wrong, because they're all, the media's lying to us anyway. So they have to get him in his moral character to shut him down. So they're doing it with other celebrities that are, people are, they're trying to, or the people that are, we're all paying attention to and uncovering their truth about it in politics. So he's just gotten, I think he's gotten to that point where he's a threat, because now he knows he's sharing the truth with politically. So they're shutting him down.
I never knew anything politically about Russell Brand, but I'm not a big Russell Brand follower either. But
you're also not a big politics follower.
I'm definitely not
either.
A big politics follower either.
Because if you watch his YouTube channel.
Yeah, no. This is the thing, and this is, I'll stand by this, I'll die on this hill about algorithms and all that stuff. If I look up a video on, regardless if it's like liberal or conservative, regardless, if I'm starting to look up videos, my algorithm, it's going to be all about that. And I don't want that.
Okay.
During the Trump years or whatever on Facebook, it was just flooded with stuff on like political stuff. I had to actively be starting to look up music stuff that I'm not even interested in to flood my stuff with other things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, because I you can be talked into going either way depending on how much you get fed, you know?
Right.
I believe that with anything, not just with politics. I believe that with like diet stuff. I believe that with like whatever you're getting fed, it can totally get into your head. And that's like your algorithm. You know what I mean? Right. So I definitely stay away from politics and all that stuff.
Well, he has a YouTube channel.
Yeah. So but the allegations that I've heard, which I just learned yesterday, by the way, when I was on TikTok, mm-hmm. which isn't the best source for news, but it does get you there sometimes. So, but there were like texts. A girl had text of her saying, hey, like, you know, that wasn't okay. I kept telling you no. You pinned me down. Like, I wasn't okay with it. And he kept saying, I'm sorry. Let me make it up to you. How can I possibly make it up to you? Like, love and all this stuff. And then she's like, I told you I was not okay, like, with you doing this. I told you that I was not ever okay with having sex without condoms. I told you I was not ever okay with, like, and he was totally, like, never denying any of this, saying, I'm so sorry, like, apologizing for it. So it kind of seems like some of these allegations, I'm not saying all of them because I don't know all of them, and I haven't read everything on it, but just not people's opinions on it, but actual physical evidence like a text is kind of, for me, like, oh, got this. And this was just one person that had this evidence, by the way. So it wasn't a bunch of people that had this evidence. There was another one that had a different girl, not her, that had it where she worked for Russell and he pinned her down. He didn't SA her because she, like, she was like, no, no. She kept saying no, no. And then he, like, stopped and then, like, got really mad at her and kicked her out and then fired her. And she went out and, like, the people were coming in for a meeting. And some guy told that girl, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I always don't forgive myself for, like, not going in there and saving you. But I couldn't do it because we're all afraid of Russell. Like, we're all scared of him. Oh. Yeah. And that, like, so he was always, like, felt guilty for not, like.
He should.
Yeah. For not, like, going in there and stepping in. Uh-huh. So it's, like, you know, and I, like, again, like, allegations just came out. This has also been, like, rumors of his behavior in the past from other comedians. Like, comedians are big even to me. Like, I've had comedians straight up tell me about other comedians too, like, hey, just be careful, like, when you meet that guy, or just be careful when you talk to that guy. This wasn't Russell Brand, because I've never met Russell Brand, but just I've had comedians tell me, like, when I'm saying, hey, oh, I'm gonna go see this guy, like, the show, and they'd be like, oh, like, just be careful, like,
yeah,
I heard, like, he was, like, handsy, or heard he was this, and, like, you know what I mean. So I feel like those ring true to me when people, like,
yeah, same thing when they did things. Denny Masterson. They're like,
yeah, just be careful.
Yeah, be careful.
So, like, you know, yeah. Sometimes it's just like, you know, you are who you are, and, like, that's terrible. Like, if you're a terrible person, it might come out, even if you do have, like, beliefs of other things that might be helpful or good to the world, or, like, whatever. I don't know. I don't know his YouTube. I've never watched it. But let's say he is saying stuff that is true. I don't fucking know because I don't watch it again. But it doesn't mean you're not a shitty person. You know, it doesn't mean you couldn't do this stuff. You could have still done this stuff and still speaking the truth about, like, politics or whatever you're speaking the truth about.
Okay. So I know more about Russell Brand.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's gone through a lot of therapy and spiritual practice in order to get to where he is right now, in order to have clarity. That's why what he has to say is so pivotal in whatever of all the things that are happening in the world and in our society and with politics is because his brain is very clear now, because he's not on drugs, and he's married and has children now, so he's a lot better. So, you know, he hopefully this just sticks to with him from before, and all these allegations are from way before Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense. If he's a sex addict, because you go from drugs, you're always going to replace it with another addiction, right? So then you go to sex, and now in sex, you're chasing the dopamine. So every time you have an opportunity to have sex, it's not just sex. It can't just be regular sex. It has to be more intense and more crazy than before, because your dopamine levels start, they level out. So you have to keep upping the ante, so your things get more dangerous. And, oh, can I get away with this? Because now I'm getting an adrenaline kick with it, and oh, you know, the dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, endorphins. Mostly, I mean, it's dopamine and endorphins at the adrenaline at that point. So, but anyway, like, everything has to, like, you have to keep upping the ante in order to get more dopamine levels. Same thing with drugs. After you take that drugs, your tolerance builds, and you need more and more drugs. So it's all. So when you're talking about an addict, it's always a dopamine high. It's always a dopamine case.
Yeah.
Chase. You're chasing the dragon. That first high was the fucking best, and you will never get a high better than that first high. But they're chasing it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
With drugs, sex.
Yeah.
Or any addiction.
Yeah, no, I believe that. I believe that that's true too, but it doesn't excuse behavior.
Of course not.
Like SA, like robbing somebody, like murdering somebody, regardless if you're an addict or regardless if you're whatever.
But it's I'm here to say, the allegations mm-hmm. are more likely to be true, mm-hmm. knowing that what I just said.
Yeah, knowing that he was an addict.
Yes.
And then these, and knowing that all that stuff, but a lot of, not a lot, a couple of people came out and said that when they met him, he was in these programs for recovery. Mm.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean he's still not chasing those dopamines for
You're going to be recovery. Chasing it for the rest of your yes. life. Our whole, a normal human being.
Yeah.
We're constantly chasing dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Yeah. We're chasing the happy chemicals in our lives.
Yeah.
That's why when I'm a massage therapist, you can get all those chemicals at once, at one yeah. time, doing nothing, laying down, doing nothing.
Yeah.
So you're not going to outside seeking out bad sexual behavior or drugs or alcohol or yeah. whatever the stimulant that you're trying to chase these drugs. Get massage therapy is going to be the only thing, one of the only things that you can do. You can get to get all of the, well, actually, it's the only thing I know that you can get all of the happy chemicals at once doing nothing. Mm-hmm. So
get a massage, everybody.
Go get a massage.
So get a massage. I love massages personally. I think they're amazing.
But point is, keep on going yeah. back.
I love massages. But yes, I do need to hear more about the Russell Brand situation, but it does yes. seem on par. And I'm saying, like, it does seem like these are probably true.
Because when you're in recovery, when you get a sponsor, you are asking them, how do I get my dopamine kick? Because mm-hmm. you really don't, because you always had this one way of getting it.
Yeah.
Now you don't have that. So you go, what the fuck do I do now with my time? I have my thoughts, and I don't have easy access to get that my dopamine anymore. Yeah. What do I do?
Well, a lot of people that were addicted to heroin are now addicted to chocolate because that's like their dopamine.
Yeah, they like
that's sugar, kind of the sugary stuff. Yeah, yeah, it's like chocolate. That's why I'm always like, I really like chocolate, so I'm not going to do heroin because I'd probably really like it. Okay, this is right. Yay. So yes. So definitely,
we'll have to come back to the Russell Brand.
I know. Once we story, know more,
once we know more,
and if more things come out about different comedians, then we'll know. All my experiences with the comedians that I know that I've met have always been great. So, but I know really good guys. So I don't know. They're probably not great guys, but
it just seems like the more the extreme, the problem was. It's they're gonna keep seeking out the dopamine and mm. what did you say about the things that when nobody has any vices,
it's
when somebody has no
dark.
Vices,
it's probably usually a dark vice, like too dark, where it's like, okay, it's not shown up front because you're totally hiding it in the back.
Right.
I don't trust people that don't
mine have is vices. Food and booze, but yeah. I'm not extremist, so I just have to watch it, right? Yeah. I make sure yeah. that doesn't get out of control.
Yeah, mine is sugar, alcohol, and shopping.
Yeah.
Shopping, I'm probably the most out of control with, more than the alcohol. Because alcohol, I could do for, like, months. I can just, like, not do because I'm not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the person that will come home and have wine or come home and have a beer. Not because I'm against that stuff, but just because I don't like beer and wine. So my alcohol is always something hard, and I just really don't like coming home and drinking, like, a tequila shot by myself. It's just like yeah. tequila shots are like for a fun vibe, and like
yeah, it's you know, slow,
cocktails.
It's
are
supposed
for
to be
a
slow
vibe.
Sipper, actually. Tequila is supposed to be a slow sipper
yeah,
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was like I used to my first alcohol was like scotch. Ugh, that was my big one forever. Scotch. I just like had scotch all the time because like, it was my sipper, and it lasted me like pretty much like the whole time I was going out. Mm. And then I got really sick on it once. Mm. So now when I put scotch like next to my face, I just start shaking. Like just automatically start shaking because I got so bad from it where it was just like really wow. bad. So
we all yeah. have a vice. Everybody yeah, has yes, a vice.
We all have vices. But I'm not, I feel like for myself, I'm not extreme about anything.
Nope.
So I don't really, we're Libras, so we're balanced. Mm-hmm. We're balanced.
Yep.
But yes, I would say sugar and alcohol and
shopping.
But yeah, those are my little addictions. But I feel like when
what's your vice?
Like, what is your vice? Let us know.
Comment below
and let us know your vice. Let me know. But I feel like people who say, oh, I don't have one. I never drank. I never smoked. You're I like, don't.
Careful
I
those ones.
Pot. I, yeah,
they're
those ones
very
are
dark.
Yeah. If you've never done any of that, Those are my red flags. Like,
what do you do in secret that you get a dopamine high from? Right,
murder. Mm-hmm. Your vice is murder.
Which they, what they say, you always have to be careful of the quiet ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you do.
And you do.
You do.
And I'm loud out here, so don't have to worry about me.
I'm good. I'm loud. That's funny. But yeah, so I guess we can like stir into what other pop. I was telling you about Amy Schumer.
Okay.
We can talk about that for a second.
Sure.
So Amy Schumer, she was getting some backlash on Instagram because she posted, and she does this kind of like, not a lot, but like once in a while she'll post like a celebrity. And she was just like, is this how humans pose? And it's just like a picture of like Nicole Kidman kind of like, she's like posed like watching a game, like kind of like this-ish, like kind of like, she's like, is this how celebrities sit? Like, or you know what I mean? Is this how normal people sit?
Uh-huh.
And I think it was like this, but I feel like, I don't know, that's not that bad. So people are like coming at her on Instagram, like, that's bullying, that's this, that's that. So she took it down, and then she made a statement saying, like, you know, I relax, like, basically breathe in and out. I wasn't doing this to bully Nicole Kidman. She's wonderful. I just thought her pose and her position she was sitting at was odd. And, by the way, this quote is not, like, verbatim, but, and she said, like, basically, like, there's so much other things going on in the world that you guys have to worry about that all the focus right now is on me, for this, like, little joke or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she said about it. But for my thing, it's like, okay, I'm not a huge Amy Schumer fan, which is, like, whatever, that's not really, it doesn't matter that. I don't hate her, but she's not really my cup of tea. But I feel like it's really attention-seeking, though. It might not be bullying, but I feel like if you're posting a celebrity and then saying this stuff and then taking it back and then posting a, like, oh, don't, it's not me. Why are you focused on me? It's because you made everybody focused on you. You knew this was something. You've done this before. This isn't the first time you put a celebrity out there and then taking it back.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just feel like it's kind of like trying to stay relevant, trying to be a pick-me kind of person, which I hate. I don't know. What's your thoughts on Amy Schumer?
I think what she said is not
bullying.
Non-offensive.
Yeah, it's definitely not offensive.
It's a little cute, little tiny joke. Mm-hmm. But I think her platform has been so anti-bully that we're all looking at whatever you do as your bully, which is also a really scary place to be as being a comedian when you're basically making fun of yourself, other people, and then society. That's just, so you're going to be anti-bully and you're going to still be a comedian?
Yeah.
Everything, that's the whole point of comedy, is to say stuff that is outlandish and offensive, but to get a laugh. So you're that's a double-edged sword there, and I would not play that game if I were in her shoes.
Right. It's, I feel like if you're in the eyes of social media and you're also doing, like you said, like big things where you're like, this is my platform.
Yeah.
I'm like anti this, anti that, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then you're like also trying to be saying jokes online. You should be careful of it. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like do your routine on tour. I don't have phones, which most comedians do, where it's like they'll have their tour and you can't bring your phone in. You have to put it in a little bag and zip it up. And then you can have it after because you don't want people to record you saying whatever you want to say for laughs, you know?
And take that little edited comment without the context and taking it out of context and getting bashed for it.
Yeah, getting bashed for it. I mean, you know, I'm sure Amy Schumer's a lovely person. I don't know her personally. I'm sure she's fine and great. But she does do a lot of things where I'm like, dude, and I guess you're a comedian, so that makes sense on brand that you're attention seeking because you do a lot of this. It's happened multiple times with different celebrities that you'll put on your Instagram when you're too famous to put celebrities on your Instagram and then make comments about them. You know, it's like, I can do it. I'm not famous. So I can, like, do a whole, like, what they're wearing kind of thing and make it, like, funny, which I wouldn't do. But, like, I can.
Sure.
Because I'm not famous.
Yeah.
But you're famous. So You can't really do that anymore. Unless you do it and then own it and then don't apologize for it. But, like, she's apologized so many times for posts she's put up and then taken back down. For me, it just seems a little bit attention-seeking and, like, tiresome. So, I don't know. That's just my opinion on her. But, I mean, I like Trainwreck, that movie she came in. I like that movie.
I like her movies. So, the best thing that could have happened is her posted the photo, exactly what she said about Nicole Kidman, and Nicole Kidman pin her comment to the top and have Nicole Kidman be approving of her in the photo, in the post of herself. And it just takes the fire out of things. Well, Nicole Kidman must be so offended by that comment. No, they're friends.
Yeah, I don't think Nicole Kidman cares about that comment. But also, I don't know if they're friends. Are they friends?
I don't know. Does it matter? They took a photo together. She felt...
No, she didn't. It wasn't with her. She just put a photo like on. It would be like you being somewhere, and there was a photo of you, and then I took it on my Instagram, put it there, and been like, oh, look at Leia. Like, is this how people pose?
Oh, okay.
That's what she did. It wasn't like a picture of
I thought it was a photo together and they were going like this.
No.
Okay.
It was just of Nicole Kidman.
Herself. It's not offensive.
It's not offensive. I agree. It's definitely not offensive at all. And I don't think it's bullying either.
But if Nicole Kidman commented on the photo and obviously wasn't offended, mm-hmm. pin it to the top, and then that sets the tone for the comments of the photo.
Yeah. I don't think Nicole Kidman did comment on that photo, and I don't know if she was okay with it or not, but I'm sure she wasn't offended by it. I don't think Nicole gives a shit who talks about her or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for myself, I think it would be really creepy if somebody posted a photo of me on their Instagram and then had, like, just something weird to say of how I was posed. I wouldn't be offended by it, but I'd just be like, that's kind of fan behavior and kind of odd, you know, that you would do that. Like, why would you do that? That's kind of weird. Again, I wouldn't be offended by it, but I'd be like, why am I on your Instagram unless we're, like, at a party together, unless you're, like, happy birthdaying me? Like, what is this going on?
Well, Nicole Kidman is on a different stratosphere of human.
She's gorgeous.
On a pedestal of, you know, one of the best actresses of our
forever.
Time.
She's gorgeous.
So it's like, Amy Schumer's an underling. Like, I would post somebody I love, like an idol of mine, and be like, this woman is so perfect. She's anti-human. Do real people post like this? No, because she's, like, so amazing. And, like, she's so... She's ethereal. She doesn't even... she's unworldly.
Yeah.
She's so unworldly, she even poses like this. She sits like this.
Yeah.
You know, I think... Again, I take things from a happy, joyful perspective. I don't assume the worst out of people.
Oh, of course not, yeah.
And people just are, like, looking... The people that vibrate low are just looking for negativity anywhere they can find it. Oh my God, it's so offensive.
And it also opened up a box for people to make really mean comments to Amy Schumer and how she looks.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it's like,
you're too skinny. You don't dress up, you don't put makeup on.
Going to post a picture of someone gorgeous like Nicole Kidman and make a comment, even though I don't think the comment was negative at all, if you do that, people are going to comment on the way you look. Because that's just the way people are. They're going to be like, oh, you're jealous. Oh, it's because you're not as pretty.
It's a low blow.
Yes. Because that's the way people are, especially on the internet with you don't know who these people are. They don't know
how trolls are.
Yes. So that's automatically going to be a thing. Like, it's just going to automatically. I posted a comment on my TikTok. This is my TikTok that got like over 1 million views. Where I bought something for Shein. Yes, I know it's not good to buy from Shein. I get it. So I already know that. I know it's fast fashion, whatever. So I posted a photo of like something I thought what it's going to look like, because what it looked like on
the model,
it wasn't even a model, it was just like by itself.
Okay.
But then what it looked like on the internet versus what it looked like on me, because it didn't even look like the same dress. It was like totally cheap material, which I should have known because we're in COVID. So whatever, I was bored.
Yeah.
Posted this video. It took me like 5 seconds to do it, right? And I got a whole bunch of comments saying, like, oh, big alien head, like, this is about, like, just, like, a bunch of, like, negative comments about me, so much so. Some of them were positive, but some of them were, like, most of them were negative. And then it was, like, I had to shut off my comments because it was just an overhaul. My phone was just, like, going off, like, vibrating every 10 seconds.
Whoa.
So much after I... after I turned off my comments, I left the post there, still there, because it got over a million views, so of course I'm going to leave Whoa. It. After I turned off my comments, people were finding my Instagram and writing me on Instagram on DMs. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And I said nothing negative about Shein 2. I was just saying how this dress, how I thought it was going to look, of how it looks on me, it was a totally different vibe. Oh, I love those vibes.
I love those ones, by the way.
It didn't even say I didn't like it. Didn't even say I didn't like Shein. It didn't say anything negative about Shein. And it was just so funny how these little kids came after me. And I know they were all kids. Like, yeah. I could just tell by how they were talking to me. But I was dying. I was like, are you kidding me? And mostly I was just getting interrupted by sleep. And I wasn't mad or anything. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, congratulations on the million views.
This was like a long time ago.
That's amazing. Yeah. I have never gotten that many. So
that's on TikTok. On Instagram, I've gotten that before from a video. But yeah. I was just like dying. I was just like, oh Brutal. My God. And I'm like nobody. So it was just like, the fact that like this is hitting me, I mean, I can't even imagine with like, I would be super careful posting anything now. I mean, it was just like, what?
Yeah. Can you imagine me like a Kardashian? And
yeah.
Like, yeah. You have to think about every single fucking thing you say, everything you post.
Yeah.
Who's going to be affected by this? Who's going to be offended by this? Who's gonna it's like, oh my God. Even, and you're going to get hate, whether you're too pretty, too, you know, too perfect.
Yeah.
Everybody's got an opinion these days.
Yeah. And then the last thing I wanted to say was Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
About his accusations about being a terrible boss and being an alcoholic and being a terrible work environment and just like people leaving and having a crying room. I want a crying room at my job. I just go to my car and cry like a normal person during lunch. But you have a whole crying room? Like, dude, that must be amazing. That's like a good work benefit. Like a whole fucking ass crying room. I want one of those.
It's filled with teddy bears.
Right? It's like soft and sensory clown stuff photos. And like, you know, just like chocolates and alcohol. Chocolates and just stuff that you, I don't know. I want a crying room.
So what did they say? So what are the allegations?
They're saying that it was a toxic work environment. They were always scared of how he would come in. He would come in like, if you come in a bad mood, it would set the tone for the whole work environment, which I feel like is true with any boss that comes in a bad mood. Like, it's going to be a terrible day.
So I don't want to work for anybody anymore.
I know. And that he's an alcoholic, which is like, yeah, that's not shocking to me because honestly, I know a lot of comedians that are alcoholics, but also, yeah. Have you ever watched his show? Like he just is very like, oh, what's going on? Like, hey, dude,
but
like,
that's what's charming about him.
And his hair is always like, his hair is always like a mess. So I'm like, yeah, dude, that guy's totally lit or drunk. Like every time he was on SNL,
I didn't think of that. You had to point that out to me.
And I was like, and every time he was on SNL, he would always screw up like every line. He would be cracking up like in the middle of every kind of.
Well,
like,
that's what was cute thing. And charming about. The
I
guy.
Think it's cute and charming. I mean, I love drunk, so I mean, I'm all for that. But I mean, I just so, people being shocked about him being an alcoholic to me is like not shocking. I'm not shocked. Like, I just don't know why they didn't think he. But I guess they see him as like this clean cut Jimmy Fallon, so funny, so sweet, relatable to everybody.
Yeah, he has so many celebrity friends.
Yeah, best friends with Justin Timberlake. Oh, we can talk about NSYNC too. So yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm not shocked, but I don't know how harsh. I guess it is harsh, but I know people are more sensitive about work and about bosses. My boss, when I had this job working for a chiropractor and a nutritionist for the LA Kings, and this was a long time ago, so it's not the current one, but he used to make me cry, and then he would throw money at me. So I don't know. I think people are just more sensitive now. Yeah, and then he would... they give me, like, you know how you give each other, like, reviews for your job, like, how you're doing?
Yeah.
He would tell me, you are 2 points hotter when you wear red lipstick. That's what he would tell me.
So, when we were younger and working for people, basically, you got abused all the time and you had to take it.
And you just had to take it.
You had to, and you would have horrible bosses and that was just the name of the game. And nowadays, you get fired and canceled for it. You get your lifelong work for being a jerk. Hopefully it's real. Hopefully, but people are so offended nowadays that your whole life's work gets ruined and you get fired from your career from people complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. If it's warranted, I guess. If it's enough people say something, I guess. I don't know. It's all relative to the amount of abuse that is taking, but we got fucking abused, man. You got sexually harassed.
I got sexually harassed in almost every job I've ever had. Up until like 10 years ago, probably. But yeah, I've harassed a lot, definitely yelled at a lot for nothing. Definitely.
Yeah. Like, however the manager felt, it would just spill it on top of the underlings because they're getting paid and they have to take your stupid freaking attitude. I don't think I've ever had a manager that wasn't like tyrannical or controlling or mean or oppressive. You know, it's just, that was just how it went. And also, I mean, it always bothers me when you hear about these stories and the manager was, the manager always ends up being an asshole. You're like, did the people above him know he's an asshole?
Yeah.
Or did he become an asshole at some point? Was he hired because he's an asshole?
Yeah.
They were just all assholes. That was just something that you expected. Nowadays, no. Yeah. Are you too sensitive? Or this guy has to be a really fucking extreme asshole? I don't know. Yeah. You'll never know.
And just depending on like what job you have, if you want to stay and stick around for it, you can. If you want to leave, there are always options to leave places like that. But working for yourself is hard work, but probably better in the long run if you are too sensitive. But you also have to deal with the people. There's always somebody like you're catering to, too. Yeah. And there's always someone that's going to be a dick to you regardless, even if it's like not like work-related or whatever kind of situation you're in. So you're going to have to learn how to like self-soothe, which I teach babies how to do, and not that you're not in the right to feel hurt or not to negate your feelings, but also you have to learn how to get on with your day.
Yeah, you have to put your feelings aside for later.
To succeed up higher. Like, you have to learn how to do that. You have to learn how. There's a whole book I read once when I was like younger. I think it was by Kelly Catrone. It was called like Cry Outside or Don't Cry at Work or something like that.
Don't cry.
Yeah. And it was basically about how like when you're like a lead and a boss somewhere and like you're in control, it gets really, there's a lot of pressure on bosses too. You know, there is. There's a lot of pressure on people like that. You have to come to a point where you're not going to cry and let your emotions get the best of you. And you have to do it like in a outside when you get home. So, because once you cry in front of like, if you're a boss, once you cry in front of like your staff workers or like kids or wherever, they're going to see you in a different light.
You're relinquishing power.
Yes, you are. So you're going to have to know how to do it in a different kind of way. Like that's what, so I used to like read a bunch of books like from like boss ladies and just like people like that, just so, because I liked them. I thought they were really interesting. But that was one thing. So like, you don't want to cry at work. So I don't, like I said, if I cry, it's going to be in my car. But people like employees, because I've been in charge of people before, and I'm a really nice boss. Like, I'm the cool boss. Not a regular boss.
Are you the cool mom? Boss.
I'm the cool mom. That's cool. But there are people that won't like you and that will be super disrespectful and condescending to you, and you're just like, fuck, like, I don't know what to do right now. Like, I can't take this. I'm under a lot of pressure. She's been a total bitch to me. I can't tell her that, of course. So I just have to walk away, because when you're in charge, you always have to walk away. You can't say the things you want to say. Like, your employees can tell you, like, da-da-da-da-da and go off on you and fucking walk out. You can't walk out when you're in charge. You can't leave. You have to fucking stay. So it's a different, I feel bad for them, because I know I've been in that position where I'm like, shit. Work girls have walked out because they felt, not from me, but just from how they were working at the time, too much pressure. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, they fucking just walked out. They didn't even ask me to, like, step in and help out, or, like, they could have a moment. They just took off. And it's just, you know what I mean? Which is totally different topic. But, like,
well, I've never been a boss of people.
Yeah, in defense of some bosses that, like, have it rough. I'm just saying, it's not all.
Well, you feel bad for the bosses? Do you feel bad for Jimmy Fallon?
No. He has a lot of money.
Poor baby bosses.
Right?
Well, I hope he's I don't know. I mean, it's disappointing to find out that Jimmy Fallon's not the cute, charming, nice guy that we all know.
Yeah. But. Yeah. It's a bummer. And I wonder how Justin Timberlake feels about it.
Oh, my God. Talk about it.
You didn't watch the VMAs, which is fine. Most people didn't, I don't think. And I only saw a minute of it before Nick and Brent were like, we're not watching this. So, whatever.
Okay. So, what happened with... Because NSYNC was there?
So NSYNC was there introducing, like, the pop award. I think it went to Taylor Swift.
Right. Like, oh, that's all they were there for, right?
Yes, that's all they were there
for. So, yeah. Just the NSYNC came out and announced the winner for the award, and it was...
Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift. So, but since then, they've been posting them, because when they're all together... All the NSYNC fans, like myself. Are you NSYNC fan? NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
I'm New Kids on the Block.
That's the same.
I know.
It's not the same.
I know.
There's no rivalry there.
I'm a blockhead.
Okay, so I'm a huge NSYNC fan.
Yeah.
And anytime they're together, we're all like, what's going on? Like, are they getting back together? Because... You know, the Backstreet Boys got back together. New Kids on the Block got back together. And they're touring. Mm-hmm. So, the whole NSYNC, when they're together, we're like, what's going to happen next? So, me, I'm like, right now, I'm like, what's happening next? So, I think their whole reunion situation is all based on Justin Timberlake. Because he went solo, and he became successful solo artist. But then now he's an actor, and blah, blah, blah. So, he became the most successful NSYNC member out of all of them. So basically, I think he's controlling. If he says yes, the other members will say how high. You know, jump. I'm sorry. I read it. they say if Justin says jump, the rest of the members will say how high. So when they're all together, we're like, oh, is it happening? Is it happening? It's happening. Come on. Go on tour. Go on tour. So, so Justin has created a new song for his future album, I suppose.
I think it's for the Trolls movie.
Okay, Trolls movie, and all of the rest of the NSYNC members are on this song, which is amazing.
Yes,
so excited.
It is.
I'm all excited that they're all singing together, but also we're like,
what's next?
What's next? Are you guys talking again? Are you making time for to go on tour? Can you do a reunion tour? Okay. I have to have expensive tickets for this. Like, if it's in my near future, I need to start saving now.
No.
$1,500 at least for a good seat.
So, I don't believe they're going to go on tour. And this is why I don't. And I don't mean to burst your bubble. I know.
That's just your opinion. You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't know.
In fact, everything I say on this podcast is my opinion.
Pure speculation and your opinion.
Nothing's ever factual.
Which means nothing.
Yeah. Nothing's ever factual. I want to go on record saying nothing's ever factual. A lot of things I make up. So, I don't know. I just want people to know that now. So, anyway, here's what I think. I think the guys are all amped to go on tour except for Justin.
Yeah,
I think Justin is being a little piece of whatever and holding them back. But I think that's a mistake on Justin's part because Justin right now isn't doing so well in the media. Remember, people stopped liking him because of the Britney Spears thing. They had a lot of backlash from Britney Spears because he talked about her years. This is a whole thing that happened years ago, but it came to light now when she's going through her stuff. But how he was slut-shaming her years ago. They talked about that. They talk about the Janet Jackson thing again. They talked about how he was cheating on his wife during that one movie set because he had his, hand on another woman's leg. It's been a minute. Goodness. Justin's time right now is not that great. People don't love Justin. People love Justin with NSYNC, though.
Yeah, and they do. We forget all of your in discrepancies.
Exactly.
Right? We'll do it. Well,
and I feel
you are anointed.
If Justin,
if you go back on tour, NSYNC.
If NSYNC did a tour, at least one in Vegas, one in LA, whatever. Right?
Residency in Vegas. Sure.
I don't think he'd do that. But if he did one big
just
show,
one world tour. Just one world tour.
I heard
United States. I live in the United States. I'm happy to be there.
I think that he would think that it would put him back on the map.
100%. You know,
and were you, I know you're an NSYNC fan, but are you, were you Justin or who were you with? Who was your favorite? No,
JC.
That's, see, okay, so here's the thing. This is just a little like tidbit from being on TikTok all the time, is that people say that JC was supposed to be the one that was the more successful NSYNC person. He was
supposed to
be the one that rose to fame, but he didn't have a good like PR marketing person. So those were the rumors about JC, because he was always the better singer and the one that had like the most.
And he had the moves.
Yes. And he was also the better looking one.
Woo!
Although for myself, I'm a Joey Fatone.
I would be with them all individually. My little teenage baby, I love all of them for their own reasons.
And if you want to know a fun fact, and I won't say which member it was because I'm not going to out the member.
Okay.
One of the members from NSYNC used to go smoke pot with my sister's dad where he lived in Brea. So we would always just see him. But I won't say which one it was.
You'll tell me after this video.
After this video, I'll let you know. But yes, that did happen. But and also I heard that they might play the Super Bowl. I did hear that too. But that's just a rumor. So
I'll take anything I can get.
There you go. That's my news for NSYNC. And I do like NSYNC. There's a lot of songs I know.
That's a good ending.
Right? Nice.
I like your news.
You like my news?
Go back and smoke pot with one of the NSYNC members so we can get more information.
I wasn't smoking with him. I hate my sister's dad. This I'll go on record saying that. This is no surprise to anybody.
Okay.
But
can you just make that all whole thing situation happen again? And just get some more information? Yeah, that'd be great.
I didn't do that. I just know that he was there. Uh-huh.
What record? Doesn't matter. There's no record.
I'm like, and also, just kidding. That's all I need. But yes. And then we're also trying to come up with a new name, because we're going to go on YouTube soon. Right?
Right. So Lucky You, Fuck You 2 podcast, which Aurora has started.
Yeah.
We're going to change the new, rebrand and change a new name. So
yes,
we're trying to figure out a new name. And we've already thought about some good ones, but she's not in love with the whole situation, all the names.
So. It needs to be something where we can brand it to everybody and also be on YouTube for it. So it can't have cuss words in it. Sorry.
No, cuss words are super fun.
All right, they are super fun. But yeah, that's it. That's all we got.
And all right,
we're gonna go to New York soon.
Oh yeah, we're going to New York in October for our birthday.
Yay! So, what do people want to send us birthday gifts for New York?
Right. we don't have a place for them to send it to us. But we're trying to figure out a way that if you guys would like to show us a good time in New York virtually by sending us some digital cash, that would be amazing.
We'll do cheers for you. You want to buy us a drink?
We can cheers you. And we're going to make videos and shout you out and stuff and be like, you can basically plan our New York trip. How cute and fun is that?
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It's coming up in October. October 13th weekend. So we got to make it.
We're going to be there.
Figure out something quickly so you guys have plenty of time.
It'll be fun. We're going to have a good time. Gift us. We're going to get drunk and make bad decisions.
Woo! What else is new?
It's for our 30th birthday.
Oh my God. Like 30 is going to be an amazing year.
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye.